Welcome back to the Turley Frequency with host Kevin Turley. The phone lines are open, so call now at 888-928-0881. That's 888-928-0881 and share with us your thoughts and prayer intentions as we navigate this complicated world together. And now your host of the Turley Frequency, Kevin Turley.
Yes, good morning to you and a happy feast day. Happy Feast of the Assumption, a holy day of obligation, a solemnity, a great day of rejoicing across the world. Our Mother is in heaven, interceding for you and me, and hopefully praying with us now as we enter into this portion of the show when we pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Yep, Archangel Radio comes together as a little praying family, pick up our rosary beads, and we intercede for you, whether you're listening or whether you're not, we're praying for you. And we could pray for you in explicit ways, or we can pray for you by just virtue of you continuing to listen to the show. Each day in this venture, I am accompanied by a prayer warrior, somebody who gives up their time, their energy, comes in, picks up their beads, and fearlessly embarks upon this path of prayer. So let's find out today who is our prayer warrior.
In studio with us, we have Miss Gail Zeman and Miss Melinda Cush.
Gail, welcome back. Melinda, I don't think I've had the pleasure.
No, I've never been on before.
Wow.
A little nervous.
Well, Gail, did you bring her? Did you persuade her, inverted commas?
She's here as my support today. She's going to pray for my husband and for his recovery. And so she ventured over with me from Mobile.
That's wonderful. Well, listen, it's great to have you, Melinda, and it's great to have you back, Gail, very much here today. Melinda, I'm assuming you know how this operates.
I do have a sheet in front of me.
You have been fully trained then.
Yes,
if you've had the sheet slapped down on the table in front of you, then that's the training. That's the training pack that we have here at the studio. So, we pray it out loud, and anybody who wants our prayers can have them. We pray for whoever comes. And obviously, both you and Gail will be given a decade each, at least, if not more. And we'll pray for your special intentions. So I hope both of you have brought many, many intentions. I know we'll be praying for Dr. Jeff, but we'll be praying for everybody else that you have brought with you today as well. So there's two ways in which Gail, Melinda and me can pray for you. And that is you can call the show on 888-928-0881. And Reed will take your call. You don't have to come on air. Just leave a message and he will take it down, pass it to us. Or you can text the show directly on 251-928-2111. Okay. Well, I don't think there's anything else to do other than say some prayers. What do you say, ladies?
I think that'd be wonderful.
Yes.
I'm ready.
We're ready.
Okay. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, and on the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Melinda and Gail. We are up and running. Okay, I'm going to come to you first, Melinda. Who or what would you like us to pray for in this first decade?
I every day pray with my husband for my children. So I would like to pray for their health, happiness, security, and vocation. And that is for Kevin, Kate, and Connor Cush.
Kevin, Kate, and Connor. Wonderful names. I'm picking up an Irish vibe here. Am I right, Melinda?
Yes.
But names like that, Kevin, Kate, and Connor, that's great. Well, we'll lift them up. And do you mind giving us the Christian name of your husband as well so we can pray for him?
Henry.
Henry. Good. Well, let's pray for the whole Cush family this morning, all of these wonderful children. I think your motivation and your hierarchy of intention is very, very good, Melinda, because their happiness and their health is also bound up with their vocation, which is ultimately to be saints. That's what they are called to, just as you and I are also called to that. Because if they become saints, they can get into heaven, and that's what we're all hoping to do on this earth. So let's pray for this little family on this special day, this day of the Feast of the Assumption. In the Cush household, are there special celebrations for this wonderful solemnity today, Melinda?
We will be going to Mass, but they're all spread out across the world, so I just have to hold them in my heart.
You don't have to specify whose were, but which parts of the globe are they thrown to at this point?
Well, I have two in Austin, Texas, and one in Guam, and that's the one I worry most about.
I bet you do. I bet you do. Pretty worrying. I don't know. It's a toss-up between Austin, Texas and Guam, though. I've been to Austin, Texas. I think I'd be happier in Guam. But that's just me.
He's on a submarine, so it's a little bit not so much fun.
I thought he might be. He's on a submarine. Wow. Yeah. Wow. You know, we have a young woman who's a mariner who is French. Have you heard this?
I have.
Yeah, and she sent us a voice message from her ship as she was traveling back from the Pacific. So we've got a mariner theme on this show. But why shouldn't we have?
We're no strangers to praying for sailors.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, the first pope was a sailor, so this is good. This is good. Okay, so Connor, Kate, Kevin, and Henry, and Melinda, we lift you all up now as we say, Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you, Melinda, and thank you, Gail. Okay, second decade's all yours, Gail.
Well, you know I'm here to pray for my husband, Dr. Jeff, and for his recovery, and he does need the prayers.
So tell us, how is it going, Gail?
He's still very weak, and we're still checking blood work, but he's home. I originally thought when I signed up to come on this great feast day that he might come with me, but he's not well enough to do that right now, so... We're praying for him, and he asked that we pray for our children, and that's Elise, Joseph, Bernard, and Lola, and their spouses, Ben, Carolyn, and Catherine, and their
Wonderful.
Children. So that's foremost in his mind.
Absolutely. Well, if you're listening, Jeff, we're praying for the whole Zeman family, every single one of you, extended and otherwise. Are they equally as geographically diverse as Melinda?
Not quite, but Nashville, Birmingham, and then Lola's here in Mobile. And I'm going to bring Lola in one day to pray with us.
Absolutely. She'd be more than welcome. So that's not too bad. I mean, Nashville is not that far, really, in Birmingham. So that's good that they're all still within striking distance. But, Jeff, if you're listening to this, we're praying for a very speedy recovery for you, okay? We like to pray for miracles on this show because we're very impatient, right? And we like people to get better soon, and then they can come in and pray with us or just pray with their spouses. So, Jeff, if you're listening to this, Gail has very much brought you to our attention. She has done that anyway through texts over the last few weeks. We've been praying for your recovery, and we are fully confident that sooner rather than later, you'll be beating down the door of the studio here at Archangel Radio and demanding to be a prayer warrior on this show, and we will rejoice on that day. So let's lift up the Zeman family. Let's give thanks for all your witness as well. I'm sure that you and your family over the years, Gail, have given wonderful Catholic witness. And may I ask, is there a particular celebration for the Assumption in the Zeman household?
Well, Lola accompanied me to Mass this morning, and I think Jeff is receiving communion from the parish of St. Ignatius over in Mobile.
Wonderful, wonderful. That's the best way to celebrate. Just go to Mass, if nothing else. Mm-hmm. We had adoration this morning in one of our churches here as well, which I thought was just beautiful that we had that as well. Okay, so on this great feast day, let's ask the Blessed Mother, the Mother of us all, to pray for the Zeman family now, as we say. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, Gail and Melinda. Now, Melinda, it's your first time here, so we come back to you for this third decade. Who or what?
Oh, well, I would like to pray for all the victims of the many recent disasters, especially for those in Maui. That's a place I had visited back in 2019, and I had gone to that church that actually did not get burnt.
Yeah, you heard about that. That's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, very.
Yeah. Well, look, Our Lady is very, very powerful as an intercessor. Why don't we ask her to put her mantle around all those children of hers out there in those islands, and ask her to gently blow on those fires and put them out, her and St. Joseph. St. Joseph's a great weatherman, you know, he's always helped me out. So let's pray for rain, let's pray for a change in the climate, pray for a miracle, and suddenly those fires will be sent back to where they came from. And let's also, Melinda, remember all the souls that have been lost during those times. I'm sure those people a few weeks ago were just going about their daily business like the rest of us, thinking life was just normal. And then suddenly they are called to give an account for themselves. And let's pray for those souls. Let's pray for all those souls, those people that are going to die this day, whether it's in hospitals in Mobile or anywhere across Lower Alabama, or people in nursing homes, or people at home, or people who will die in accidents. This prayer, as you know, is specially designed for departing souls. So let's pray that we will always be ready for that moment when we're called home, wherever it is and whenever it is.
Amen.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you, Melinda, and thank you, Gail. So for this fourth decade, Gail, I'm turning to you. Is there anybody else or anything else you would like us to pray for this morning?
Yes, I'd like to ask for prayers for the repose of the soul of Sister Michelle Marie of the Visitation Monastery, who suffered much at the end of her life, and also prayers of recovery for Sister Miriam, also at the Visitation. And we have some sick friends, Annette Ann, Joe Kay, Sugar Emil, and Danny M., who also need our prayers of recovery. So I'd like to remember all of those in this decade.
Some of those names are familiar, Gail. I'm not sure whether you've texted in. I think you texted in about Sugar, didn't you?
I did.
You did. And also, forgive me, you did text about some of the Visitation sisters, and I can't remember whether it was Sister Mary Michelle or Miriam.
It was Sister Miriam. She had back surgery, and then
that's it.
She also has now had hip surgery.
Right.
So she's
okay.
She's probably still definitely recovering at the hospital.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we'll definitely pray for her, and we'll pray for the soul of Sister Mary Michelle as well. And for all your friends who are needing help, Annette and Sugar, Danny M., and there was another one. Sorry, I missed
Joe
that.
Joe K.
Yeah, Joe. That's right. Mm-hmm. So let's lift all of these up now. And let's also lift you up, Gail. You're obviously a very good friend. Somebody who cares a lot about your friends, so much so you're willing to pray for them and to ask for others to pray for them as well. So let's pray for the gift of friendship that can so easily be lost through misunderstanding. That's certainly been my experience. Sometimes people take the wrong end of the stick. So let's pray that these friends are given to us by God. They're given to us partly so that we can pray for each other. We can bring each other to heaven. That is why we're given to each other ultimately. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you, Gail, and thank you, Melinda. Now, we've come, believe it or not, Melinda, to the fifth decade. That's how fast it goes. I know you know, Gail, it just whisks by, doesn't it?
It does.
I'm going to come back to both of you ladies for the final word on this fifth decade. But before we do, we're just going to check in with our producer, Reed, here. Reed, is there anybody or anything you'd like us to pray for?
Yes, Kevin. I would love to pray for anybody who feels isolated and that they don't really have anybody that they can turn to. And then I would love to pray for anybody who struggles with disordered attraction.
Mm-hmm. absolutely. Okay, so if you're isolated and alone, and maybe it's connected as well to some disordered attraction, we're praying that the Lord will liberate you from that situation. God, Christ is a liberator. He brings us out of all our neurosis, our fears, our worries, into his wonderful light, into his wonderful reality. So, and we all need a mother when we're feeling isolated or alone or dealing with some addiction or some difficulty, and no person better to turn to than our Blessed Mother today and ask her to say, Mother, behold your son, behold your daughter, help me with whatever it is that needs helping today. Wonderful read. So we've got a couple of other intentions that have come in. We're praying for Mary Thompson. Mary, if you're listening, we're praying for your foot. I know you had an operation on it last week. We're praying that all goes well and you make a speedy recovery. We're also praying for a speedy recovery for Jennifer Romano, Mike's wife, who had a bit of an accident the other day and is currently incapacitated. Jennifer, if you're listening for this, we're hoping that you'll be doing the 100-meter sprint before the week is out. In addition, well, maybe not the 100-meter sprint, Jennifer, but you'd be up and about at least. Now, I have an apology to make to Jim Conwell, our good friend. Jim texted late on Friday, so late that it didn't get on the show. And Jim, apologies. I meant to do it yesterday and totally forgot about it. And Jim was asking for prayers for Teresa. Teresa has family members in Russia who are enduring great hardships due to the ongoing war there. So, Jim, good morning to you. And we are praying this decade for Teresa and all her relatives in Russia. And let's throw in as well that the Lady, Our Lady, will help end the conflict between Ukraine and Russia and soon. And then this morning we've had a text in from Ken and Mary. Ken and Mary, good morning to you, with the very sad news that Steve Wright passed away yesterday. And if we'd be so kind as to pray for the repose of Steve's soul. Ken and Mary, we shall do that, and we'll also include you in this final decade as well. And one final intention comes in anonymous, and it just says, can you please give thanks to Our Lady of Snows for prayers answered? Absolutely anonymous. Happy to do so. Our Lady of the Snows, no problem. Okay.
Kevin,
in which case,
sorry to interrupt you, but I just got a late note for John, who is going to be having back surgery today. So
great.
We'll put him in there.
Never apologize for a late addition to these intentions. John, if you're listening, we're praying for your back. We pray that the patron saint of back injuries, which is Saint Gemma Galgani, will be watching over you today and busying herself with your surgeons so that all goes really, really well. And before you know it, your back is back to normal. Okay. Final word to you two ladies then. And I'm going to start, if I may, with you, Melinda. Who or what would you like to remember in this fifth and final decade?
I would like to say a prayer for all those who have left the church but are on a path to returning, in particular for my brother-in-law, Mark Cush.
Mark, we're praying for you. This is a kind of radio equivalent of a seek and rescue operation, this show. So, Mark, we're looking for you. We're coming to take you home. No ifs, no buts. Gail, final word to you.
I'd like to pray for some happy news, a new baby that's been delivered, a little boy, to Hanson and Taylor. I'd like to have prayers of gratitude and also prayers for Trent and his wife, who are expecting twins, so that they have a safe delivery in the near future. And for all and all babies, I hope I pray for all parents to have their children baptized. And have that grace of God in their lives as soon as possible.
I was just going to say that, Gail. Okay, have them baptized and as soon as possible. I like the old way. The old way back in the old days in Ireland, when the baby came out, they virtually baptized them there and then on the spot. And I thought, that's good. I like that.
Well, I was listening to you yesterday with Carrie and Father Darren and Chuck, and I just think it makes such a difference for our parents to really value the sacrament of baptism. So,
mm-hmm. And also, if there's any parents listening who aren't baptized, why don't you make it a double event? I'm sure Gail and Melinda won't mind me suggesting that. Baptize the whole family like they did in the Acts of the Apostles. Was it Cornelius had his whole family baptized at one go? Why not? You know, mm-hmm. Baptism is the start of a wonderful, wonderful journey, which you will never, ever regret and will lead you all the way to heaven if you play your cards right.
That's the truth.
Amen. Okay, well, let's lift up all of these intentions in this fifth and final decade. I think we've loaded it up enough, ladies, don't you?
Yes.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. O my Jesus,
I trust in you.
O my Jesus,
I trust in you.
O my Jesus,
I trust in you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
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 Gail and Melinda, thank you so much for taking time out and coming in and praying with me this morning.
It was a joy and a pleasure.
I really enjoyed it. Thank you for letting me join you, Gail.
Of course.
I was going to ask you, Melinda, it wasn't too bad, was it?
Nope.
I'm more nervous than she is.
A few weeks of counseling, you'll be back to normal. Don't worry. Listen, ladies, have a wonderful, wonderful feast day with your families, with your husbands and your families. It all sounds wonderful. And may God bless you specifically and in particular for your goodness in coming in and praying for other people today.
God bless you too, Kevin.
God bless you, Kevin.
All right. When we come back, we are going to be searching for the Ark of the Covenant. And you know what? It might have been in plain sight all the time. Yeah. Stay tuned to the Eternity Frequency here live and exclusive on Archangel Radio.
The law firm of Cromwell & Associates is a proud supporter of Archangel Radio.
Our Lord calls us to be wise and faithful stewards of our gifts. The experienced lawyers at Cromwell & Associates can help you use these gifts with estate planning tools like wills and trusts. With locations in Mobile and Fairhope, our law firm is here to guide you and your family through every stage of life. I'm Eric Cromwell, a parishioner of St. Ignatius. To learn more, please call 251-605-9075 or find us on Facebook.
Brighten up your look. Visit Alabama Smile Design and take advantage of their in-office whitening special. Add sparkle to your smile with a quick and easy treatment. Alabama Smile Design offers same-day dentistry, too. Contact them at 251-344-4994. That's 251-344-4994. Alabama Smile Design, creating beautiful smiles to match a beautiful city.
This summer, enhance your Archangel Radio experience by becoming a member of the 360 Club. For just $30 a month, you can support great shows like LA Catholic Morning, The Turley Frequency, Get Daily Mass, and more, all while enjoying a beverage in your free steel tumbler. To be a member of the club, go to archangelradio.com. That's archangelradio.com.
Beverage not included.
Hey, I'm Tom Riello with your Faith and Culture Minute on Archangel Radio. Suffering. No one likes to. St. Thomas Aquinas actually says that the only argument against the existence of God is suffering. But he says it's not because it's an intellectual problem, but because it's a heart problem. St. Paul tells us that there is value in suffering. In Colossians chapter 1, St. Paul says so beautifully that his suffering completes the sufferings that are lacking in the sufferings of Christ. Now, Jesus' suffering did not lack anything for redemption. The only thing it lacked was my suffering and yours being joined with him. St. Paul also says that through his sufferings and weaknesses, Christ's power is made known to the world. So the next time you're suffering, don't think that God is punishing you. It's actually God is saving you. This has been Tom Riello with your Faith and Culture Minute on Archangel Radio.
Solomon Chaney walking with the Queen.
Yes, welcome back to the Turley Frequency here live and exclusive on Archangel Radio. We are with you on this wonderful feast day, this Feast of the Assumption. Now, do you remember at the start of the show, we were talking about why Pope Pius XII decided to define the dogma of the Assumption back in 1950. Why did he do it then? Why did that particular pope at that particular time decide to make this a particular dogma? Who knows? So what I'm going to do now in story time is give you a little, it's going to be a little bit rambling, and I've already warned Reed and the whole production team, this may run into tomorrow, who knows, because I wanted to do something about Our Lady. And it's based on something which I was reading at the weekend, which really, really struck me. I just want to share that. So let's go story time. Now, you may remember, I think it was the start of this week or maybe the end of last week, I can't remember, I was telling you that I was reading a book which was really making an impression on me. Now, I need to preface what I'm about to say by saying I have read many, many books on Our Lady. Many, many books on the devotions to Our Lady. In fact, I'm looking at a pile of them in the corner as I speak to you. The True Devotion to the Blessed Virgin by St. Louis de Montfort, The Mother of Our Savior and the Interior Life, the famous Garonge tomb about Our Lady, and so on and so forth. There are endless amounts of books in any Catholic household which are about the devotion to Our Lady. Some of them are theological, like those books. Some are devotional, telling us about different devotions to Our Lady. I mean, there is no saint or such like that has as many devotions. I mean, as many litanies, as many feast days, as many, we all pray the rosary, etc., etc., etc. So we can get slightly, what's the word? We can feel like we know Our Lady through all of that, right? And that was the position which I'm afraid I had got sort of comfortable with. Yes, I was conscious of Our Lady. I had a great devotion to her, of course, said the rosary and so on. But I was aware that perhaps I could learn a little bit more about her. And I was kind of intrigued by a title I saw online. It was Jesus and the Jewish Roots of Mary Unveiling the Mother of the Messiah by Brant Petrie. Now, I had read one of his books before about the Jewish roots of the Last Supper, and it really, really intrigued me. And maybe I'll talk about that on another day. But I did sort of come to this book with a little bit of a question, which isn't a bad thing when you pick up a book. It's kind of, can you really show me something? Something new? Can you really, in all the books I've read about Our Lady, and all the devotions that we've done, etc., all the sermons that we've heard, and if you've been on retreat, you will have heard them preached about Our Lady, is there really something new to be said? And I have to say that this book really made me think. Now, first of all, to give you the health warning, this book is solidly Catholic, okay? There is nothing in it that is going to worry, unlike some books that you pick up. And you have to be very careful about Catholic books that you pick up. If in doubt, consult with somebody who knows about these things. Phone this show, 888-928-0881. I'll give you an opinion straight away. There are many authors that are of no use, and there are many authors which will undermine your faith. Sorry to put it so boldly. Especially in the realm of biblical studies, for some reason. Now, there has been an explosion in Catholic biblical scholarship of the best sort in the last 30 years. And I've mentioned this before on the show. And the man who I blame for all of this, blame in the best possible way, I salute for all of this, for the beginning of all of this, is of course Scott Hahn, Dr. Scott Hahn. Dr. Scott Hahn, as you know, was a Bible-believing Christian who didn't particularly like Catholicism. In fact, he had a lot of problems with Catholicism. There's that wonderful passage, or slightly chilling passage, in his autobiography, which he wrote with his wife Kimberly, Rome Sweet Home, where he talks about coming across his grandmother's rosary beads. Do you remember this? And he was an ardent Protestant. And you know what he did with the rosary beads? He destroyed them, ripped them apart, crushed them into dust, and threw them out with the trash. Kind of symbolic of what he thought of Catholicism. And maybe if this show was continuing, I would have taken you through all the usual anti-Catholic tropes that we've had to put up with over the years and how they're just not true. Just not true. One of which is that we worship Mary. I have never, in all my years, ever met a Catholic that worships Mary. Have you? I bet you haven't. I've met some people who are devoted to our Blessed Mother, but then equally devoted to our Lord. I've met women and men who say the rosary every single day, all four mysteries every single day. But they're the same people who are at Mass, receiving our Blessed Lord, spending time in adoration, reading the Bible, reading some good spiritual text, living their faith, hopefully being good to their neighbors as well, which is the other side of it, the hard bit. It's all right saying prayers sometimes. It's loving one's neighbor. You know why the good book says that we must love our neighbor? Because neighbors are sometimes the hardest people to love. Ever lived beside somebody who really got on your nerves? Ever shared a house with somebody who really got on your nerves? Don't answer. I know the answer already. Anyway, back to this book. So we're talking about Jesus and the Jewish Roots of Mary by Brant Petrie. And on the back, we have some wonderful reviews. I mean, absolutely. I mean, this is the sort of thing as an author, you would just wonder if you're dreaming. So Scott Hahn is here, right? And he says, I do not think a single book could be written about Mary that would excite and unite Catholic and Protestant readers. Etc., etc., etc. And then he says, a true masterpiece. A true masterpiece. And that's coming from Scott Hahn. Robert Barron, heard of him? Bishop Robert? This is vintage Brant Petrie. Clear, persuasive, readable, and above all, inspiring. I mean, this is good stuff, right? So you can trust this. And I've read it now, and I can absolutely say there is nothing in it which is against Catholic teaching or thought. In fact, I'm just checking. Yes, there is a nihil obstat and an imprimatur. And if you don't know what those things are, a nihil obstat and an imprimatur are Catholic guarantees that the content is kosher, if we were Jewish. We're not Jewish, but you know what I mean. So at least that has that. Now, some books that do have a nihil obstat and an imprimatur, you still have to be a bit careful of, but that's a whole different talk for a whole different day. So this book on Our Lady. Now, there are a number of chapters here, and I'm not going to go through them all today. I may go through it all week. Who knows? Because this is a special week for Our Lady. It's a special time for Our Lady. Why not, right? Let me know what you think. 251-928-2111. You can never get enough of this type of thing, as far as I'm concerned. Now, the introduction really got me interested, because it was an introduction which I could have written, and perhaps you could have written, and it goes along the lines of this. Brandt grew up in a Catholic household where he went to Catholic schools, he went to Mass, he had no major problems with his faith, he would say the rosary with his family, etc., etc., etc. But there was an element whereby he was on autopilot. Do you know what I mean? He wasn't really fully formed in the faith. Because there's an element of our faith, you know, that we have to use our brain for. We were given minds for a reason. Now, you may have heard the weekend we were praying at one of the readings. I think it was Deuteronomy Mass. We were praying the wonderful prayer of Moses. Do you remember? The Hear, O Israel. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul. Actually, it's with all your might in the Old Testament. So our Lord says something similar then when he's asked the question about this. And he says something similar, though he adds with all your strength, with all your mind, with all your heart, with all your soul, and your neighbor as yourself. But that's, again, that's slightly off the point. But in both Moses and our Lord, both times they say you must love the Lord your God with all your mind. So, yes, we must love him with our heart and with our might, with our body, with our physical energy. But we've got to switch our minds on. And what I find from my own experience is sometimes we Catholics can switch our brains off. We have devotions, but we don't know why we have these devotions. Like today, do we really understand the dogma of the Assumption? Now, don't worry. This is a very long way round. We're going to get to that eventually. But what I'm trying to say is that this is a good place to start, because Brandt had all of this kind of at the back of his mind, and he was sailing along, and then he fell in love. That's right. And he fell in love with a young woman who was not a Catholic. And, you know, he really liked her family and all the rest of it. But he met her pastor. And her pastor was that sort, this is Louisiana, so it's not very far from Alabama. You will know this type. I've met them in my time where I grew up. Bible-believing Christians that don't have a lot of time for Catholicism. In particular, our devotion to Our Lady. These are the people that do say, you Catholics, you worship Mary. Which I have to say is a blasphemy, okay? We do not worship Mary. And to do so would be idolatry. And we do not go in for that as Catholics. So young Brandt was sitting talking to this pastor. Now, this pastor knew his Bible, and Brandt at this point did not know his Bible. Now, one of the things that Scott Hahn talked about when he was talking about his conversion to the faith is that there are a group of evangelists who will go around college campuses looking for Catholics. Because they will expect, like with young Brandt, that they do not know their Bible. And these evangelists will have 10 or 15 verses which they can throw at a Catholic, and in doing so, throw a Catholic off guard. You must have had this experience. I've had it in my life. sort of evangelicals who come up and start throwing biblical verses at you. And sometimes you're caught in the headlights. You don't know what to say. Now, I have to say that I did go away and I've had many years of formation in the faith, studied theology and all the rest of it, and can give as good as I get. Okay. I remember once on the streets of London, I was walking along, minding my own business, when I was suddenly met by a very smiling young man who said, "Was I a Christian?" And I said, "Oh, yes, I'm a Christian." And he was like excited. He said, "Oh, that's interesting." And he said, "But are you really a Christian?" You know, this sort of conversation. And I said, "I think I am. Yeah, sure." And anyway, I knew what he was getting at, which was I born again? Heard this. So we got into a bit of a discussion and he started throwing verses at me and I started throwing other verses back. And he was losing. So some of the other young evangelists he was with, they came over to help him out. They started throwing verses. And then they started losing as well. So the head evangelist came over and said to me, "Clear off. You're making it up. Go away." I said, "It was you that stopped me. It was you that wanted to talk to me." He said, "We don't want to talk to you. Go away." So that was the last. So I really enjoy meeting these people, but they don't seem to enjoy meeting me sometimes. Anyway, back to Brandt. So Brandt is talking to the pastor, and the pastor gives him the verses from Jeremiah chapter 7. Yeah, Jeremiah chapter 7, which I'm sure you know, but I'll repeat anyway for your benefit, because in those verses, there is a phrase which we Catholics use, right? But it's pejorative in Jeremiah chapter 7, and that phrase is Queen of Heaven. Because what the prophet Jeremiah is talking about is the pagan goddess, which some of the children of Israel are flocking to, offering cakes to and prayers to, drink offerings, etc., 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 to the Queen of Heaven. And you will see this in the prophet Jeremiah. So you can imagine that when the pastor was pointing this out to young Brandt, he was getting very, very worried. Because we Catholics, we do talk about the Queen of Heaven, don't we? In fact, anybody who's ever sung Salve Regina, Hail Holy Queen, you have definitely talked about, "Oh, Hail Queen of Heaven," right? So how do you square that circle? Young Brandt was worried. Was I committing adultery? Were these Protestants really right about this? And then the pastor started working on him in different ways. So the whole business of, where does it mention Our Lady's Immaculate Conception? Where does it mention Our Lady's Assumption? If he had known about the Assumption, he would have said something similar, right? And also, how do we square Our Lady's sinlessness with biblical verses such as Romans chapter 3 verse 23, where St. Paul says, "All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." Can you see how this starts to confuse the young mind of Brandt? But it gets worse. It gets much worse. Because we believe in the eternal or perpetual virginity of Our Lady. And yet, the Bible talks about the brothers and sisters of Jesus, right? How does that work? Have we missed something? And there's other things that are a bit strange. For example, the marriage feast at Cana, where Mary goes to Jesus to ask his help with the couple. And he says, "Woman, what have you to do with me?" Do you remember? Woman, what have you? It sounds a little bit dismissive, does it not? Things are getting worse and worse and worse, aren't they? Right? Now, I'm giving you some of the things that the pastor said to the young Brandt. And what was the end result? Well, his faith began to weaken, not so much in his Catholicism per se, but certainly in his devotion to Our Lady. It seemed to be unscriptural, unbiblical. At worst, it was things that were made up. Sorry, one of the worst things where it was made up. At its worst, it was pagan. It was pagan interventions, pagan admixture to the revelation found in Holy Scripture. Now, anybody who's lived in the Anglosphere, which is predominantly a Protestant culture, will have come across these people, will have had these debates, will have heard these arguments. Now, if you've just listened to me for the last 5 minutes and you're starting to get worried, hold on. Hold on. I haven't finished yet. Because I want to tell you what happened to young Brand. So that was the situation young Brand found himself in. And he was going off to study at the University of Notre Dame. And he was going to study theology. Particularly, he was going to study the New Testament. Now, you heard the interview I did with Harry Brunius earlier, and I wasn't being facetious when I asked at the end of his theology course if he had any faith, because one of the aspects that I've heard about and come across often is that people that go to study theology often find more doubts than they find faith. You have to be very, very careful. And think about it, it makes sense that that would be the case. Do you think that your enemy is going to allow you to learn deeply about your holy faith so that your faith is deepened? No. He's going to cast in lots of doubts. He's going to throw lots of spiritual dust into your eyes to try to blind you from the truth. The devil is, of all the academic disciplines, the devil is the most active when it comes to theology. That's my opinion. That's just an opinion, but it's what I have seen. Anyway, so there was a certain danger in Brandt going to study at that level, theology, which you never know what you're going to get, okay? Now, when he went off to his college, and he was going to study biblical studies, and he was going to take a course in New Testament and the Old Testament and all the rest. Now, here's the thing. We'll pick up on this tomorrow, don't worry. What should have been the final nail in his coffin when it comes to his devotion to Our Lady turned out to be the opposite. So what should have happened is that he went and studied with all these theologians and said, of course, devotion to Our Lady is for people who have no intelligence. It's just purely devotional, etc., etc. You can imagine this sort of, it's part superstition, it's part, you can imagine all the old cliches that come out. The opposite happened, and it happened because of this. Not that Brandt went away and studied why Catholics have devotion to X, Y, or Z in relation to Our Lady. But he went away and he began to study not the New Testament, but the Old Testament. Now, during his time of study, he learned three things that were very important. First was that the Catholic beliefs about Our Lady are deeply rooted in ancient Christianity. These beliefs were widely held in ancient times by Christians living in the Holy Land, Syria, Egypt, Greece, Asia Minor, Rome, and elsewhere. In short, they were part and parcel of the ancient Christian faith. The second reason was that he gradually understood that these ancient Christian beliefs about Mary flowed directly out of what early Christians believed about our Lord. Now I'm going to quote you from the Catechism, which he quotes. What the Catholic faith believes about Mary is based on what it believes about Christ, and what it teaches about Mary illuminates in turn its faith in Christ. But the third thing was the most interesting, and the third thing is what we're going to talk about tomorrow, in particular one aspect of it. The young Brandt discovered that the ancient Christians got their beliefs the beliefs that we share to this day about Our Lady from the Old Testament, not just the New Testament. In fact, he goes on to say that the key to understanding what the Bible teaches about Mary can be found in what is known as typology, which is the study of Old Testament prefigurements or types for their New Testament fulfillment. He then quotes Joseph Ratzinger, who later became Pope Benedict XVI, with this wonderful quote. Just listen to this. The image of Mary in the New Testament is woven entirely of Old Testament threads. The image of Mary in the New Testament is woven entirely of Old Testament threads. Now, tomorrow we will pick up on this and I will take you through some of his findings, and as it is as exciting as any Raiders of the Lost Ark, except it's more exciting because we will find the Lost Ark. I will point you to that as we progress. But for today and for now, Our Lady, Queen of Heaven, pray for us.
All right, Kevin, it's been another great day at the Turley Frequency.
Yes, we've tried our best, Reid. We really
yes.
have.
Hey, I'm just glad that we managed to get Mr. Brunius's interview to a satisfactory level. Like you said, it wasn't good enough last time, and he was really interesting, so I'm glad he was able to come back on here.
I don't know how many candles you had to light in St. Lawrence, but it definitely worked.
Oh, well, we've been praying, so exactly. What's coming up tomorrow?
Well, tomorrow we have the award-winning photographer Jeffrey Bruno, who is a fascinating man. I've had the great pleasure of interviewing him for a newspaper in the past. Not only is he a great photographer, he's also a Catholic revert. And also, in his misspent youth, he was hanging around with the Bon Jovis. So listen in tomorrow.
Oh, wow. Okay. Should be great.
Should be. Listen, I hope you've enjoyed this festal edition of the Turley Frequency. We've certainly enjoyed serving you here on Archangel Radio. If you've enjoyed it, tune in again tomorrow. Same time, same frequency, same me. But in the meantime, may St. Joseph watch over you and all those you love. And until we meet again, may God bless you and keep you.